Morning. Good to see everyone out to New Harmony Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us, we'd like to welcome you and just come back and you're a second time you're a part of us. You've come home, folks. So good to have everyone this morning and excited about today. Had a good weekend so far, and it seems like we got a lot of rain coming up this week. So give everybody a good opportunity to stay in and study the Word of God. It'd be something good to do. If you don't, you'll be mad at your husband or wife, and you'll all be in trouble. So you might as well get in the Bible. We had a good weekend. Me and Stephanie went to Cummings, Georgia. So if y'all listen to J933, you've been hearing about Jay and Laura LaFoon. It's the ultimate date night. We went to one Friday night up there at Vines Church, Vines Community Church, and had a good time, and it was real educational for me. I learned a few things, and I was thinking about how much I have learned all week. You know, as they say, you never too old to learn. As we had our Valentine banquet Wednesday night, which we had a great turnout, by the way, and a great time, I learned a lot of things. I learned that Derek hadn't been around very many women. One of the questions was, what does your spouse do that's quirky, or however you say that word? And he thought that Nicole put her blue jeans on quirky, but I was hoping for some great story of how she held him up and jumped off the bed at 2 feet or something. But it was those women that's in here knows it's the bending down thing. You know what I'm saying? Stephanie says...
You might want to
Stephanie says the dryer makes them too tight, and I told her she's got the wrong appliance. It's a refrigerator. But I also learned something in Cummings that I need to take to heart this morning, that science has found that women who put on a little bit of weight live longer than the men who mention it. So that's something good to remember. On a serious note this morning, we've been praying for our building, and Carrie has worked to try to find someone to loan money to us, and just wasn't God's timing up until recently that we're having some meetings tonight to determine to go forward with this, but we have been approved for financing to finish our building. Seems like a pretty good rate. The monthly payment's not too bad on it, so we'll meet tonight and begin in the talks of going forward. I ask everyone to pray for it. I ask you to pray that that God provides, and I know if we do this, it's going to take commitment on part of every person. It's something that is needed. If you wasn't here Wednesday night, if you was here Wednesday night, you know it was needed because we felt like sardines. But we've got a shell out there, and we need to finish it. And so I pray that God lays it upon our hearts, and I know that his timing's perfect as this things fell right in without much hassle, and it looks like things is good. So as you continue praying. Also pray for some friend of ours up in Tallapoosa. I don't know if many of y'all know Barry Hutchison and his family. He's got a son named John. It's a state trooper for the state of Georgia. Barry's wife Dot passed away yesterday, had been in church with us for years at Concord, and I think they go to Westview in Tallapoosa now. But y'all remember Barry, he's a great man. Dot was a great woman, and I know today that she is seeing the Lord face to face, and what a blessing it is to have that testimony of knowing that everything's okay. So y'all pray for Barry. He was close to Dot. He was crazy about her. That was his life. So y'all remember Barry. And John also. Do you have any other prayer requests? I know there's many that I'm forgetting. Anybody? Let's remember our community. Remember each other. As we're about to go into, like I said, this week is looking like a lot of rain. So be careful. I was joking about it earlier, but be careful this week. It looks like it could be around 8 inches of rain. So going to be a lot of water on the road, so be careful driving and different things, and we want everybody to be safe. I want to ask you again before we have prayer to, the Lord laid on my heart, we should be having communion every quarter at least, and I had forgotten to do it the last quarter of last year, so had it upon mind for this year, and I had Keith to get the stuff last night, and this morning as I began thinking about it and praying about what to do, the Lord laid on my heart to have it tonight. Because I am guilty of rushing that service. That's something that's one of the most important things we do in church, is what that is to remind us of what Jesus done for us as he died and was crucified, and that bread and that blood and that juice that we partake that lets us know the blood that was shed for us is very important. So I ask you, if you will, to come tonight at 5 o'clock. We'll have that. Those of y'all that's on committees, our deacons, we've got a meeting at 4 about our building. With the deacons and finance committee is going to meet together about going forward. So be here at 4, and I ask you to come tonight and take part in it. That's what our service is going to be. It's going to be communion, a little bit of preaching, but we're going to have communion. I hope to have a great time, and the Lord will really bless, because that is a special time that's supposed to be taken, and I have been convicted of rushing through that, and it's not something that's to be a hindrance to us. It's something that's special, so I ask you to come. Any other prayer requests? Not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, another day of life. What a gift it is. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings you bestowed upon each one of us. We have homes, we have food, we have a great church to come to, we have great friends. Lord, we just are truly blessed this morning. God, I ask you to be in this service, to touch our singers as they sing. And Lord, those that are here, and I know that every single one of us has encountered some kind of problems or something this week, I ask you to help us to put it behind us for just a few minutes, and that we may focus our attention, our minds, and our hearts on you and truly worship you. God, all you ask is not much of us, just an hour or two a week. And Lord, help us to see the need in doing that this morning. God, I ask you to bless in each prayer request that was made. Father, as we come to meet about this building tonight, I ask that you let everyone be on the same page. You let us all be in communion together, and that you let us go forward. And Lord, if this is your will, this thing continues, that you bless mightily. God, we thank you for everything you do, and for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Welcome again this morning. I was sitting there thinking as Pat was playing how much grief I give her, but she really is a good piano player. Don't tell her I said it. But we appreciate her and what she does. It's a dying art. I know we have some young people in our church who've taken piano lessons. It's very important, I believe, is that it's something that's going away quickly. But I thank Pat for what she does for us. And one of them things you never know what you got until she's not here, like last week. Good to have her back. She had a great time seeing her grandchildren baptized. And I want to thank the Lord for the service we had last Sunday night. What a great time it was to see new believers come and are baptized. And it's just exciting to see what God is still doing. He's still able to do it. I had been studying a message all week about the falling away, but the Lord would not have me preach it this morning. As he began laying something else in my heart, and I began arguing with him of how I thought I knew better. And the message he laid on my heart today is a story of David and Goliath, although I hope to show you something from a little different scene of it, maybe than you've heard before, or you may have heard it this way before, I don't know. But I was thinking, I was telling God that surely my great message I'd come up with on the falling away was way better than his, but it wouldn't happen. And sometimes we begin thinking these stories, we hear a lot about David and Goliath or Noah and all these stories that's become children books, we begin thinking they're insignificant. But I want to tell you something this morning, that this story of David and Goliath is, boy, it's got all kind of meanings of life. It's very important we understand some of these things this morning. So if you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17, while you turn over there, just in case you're not familiar with this, there was a great giant in the land. His name was Goliath, and he was coming against the armies of Israel, which was God's people. It was an army that God had called, God's chosen people, just as we today, if we've trusted Jesus, we are God's chosen people. And there was a great battle about to take place, and the Philistines had a great champion whose name was Goliath, and he had these Israelites scared to death. And I began thinking, well, Lord, what is it to do with us today? How does this really pertain? I know there's been men who's wrote books about killing the giants and all these things. But I began thinking in our own life that surely we must all have giants. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning, but if I did, I promise you that those of you in this room this morning have a giant that you face. I don't know what yours name would be, but the one that was coming against the Israelites' name was Goliath. And I began looking up his name, and it was, I can't believe I've never done that. In 10 years of pastoring and how many years of preaching, I have never looked up the name of Goliath and what it meant in the original Hebrew. And it means to exile. It means to strip. It means to take the clothes off of, if you will. It means to uncover something. And I began thinking about the giants that we face and how real this is, that his name must have been Goliath, because when I face the giants in my own life, it uncovers what's really there. It uncovers who I really am. It uncovers my integrity. It uncovers the true person of who I am before God. You see, God sees me as there is nothing. God sees through everything that I say I am. He knows exactly what I am, and I am completely uncovered. And these giants that I face, they reveal that. They show to even myself of who truly I am. I can stand and preach all day long and for 100 years, and I can fool you if I want to. We all can fool one another. But when we face these giants, some things become uncovered. Some things become stripped off, and you can truly see who you are. And this morning, I hope you understand that you too face a giant. You face a giant, and in this story here, we know it, we've probably heard it hundreds and hundreds of times, but I hope to bring it in a little different way this morning. So in 1 Samuel, chapter number 17, verse 19 through 29, I want you to listen to this. If you would, stand your feet. It's not very long. Stand your feet. Give you a little exercise this morning. It says, now Saul and they, now listen to this. You've got to read this verse slowly. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forward to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up with the champion of the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spoke according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel he has come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killed him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the narrowness of thine heart. For thou art come down, thou mightest see the battle. And David said, listen to this. If you don't get anything else, listen to this. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Father, we thank you today for your word. Lord, we ask you to open it to us, and God, that we may understand what you're telling us today. God, I pray that the giants that we have in our life, that uncover us, that reveal us, God, that you would help us to defeat these things and overcome them and be the ones you've called us to be. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. That's the title of the sermon this morning, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause today for you to be victorious over your giant? Is there not a cause? And by the end of this, I hope to show you that cause. And part of the way that this sermon come up, I believe, was me and Ashton began watching the Woodlawn movie. How many of y'all ever saw Woodlawn? If you've ever known, it's about the story that took place in Birmingham, Alabama. But I bet you may have not knew this if you didn't read the book. How many of y'all know that the preacher in that story was from Tallapoosa, Georgia? Tallapoosa, Georgia, a man who was a preacher, he was called to go to Birmingham and began preaching to FCA meetings and to schools. And those of y'all that lived in that time remember it, because I wasn't even alive, but you remember a time when the white people and the black people was completely against one another, more so than probably we've ever seen. And there was a great division in Birmingham schools even. And this man went and he began to preach to these young people, and the whole football team there of the Woodlawn High School got saved. All of them but one or two got saved, become brothers in Christ, and God brought that thing together. And listen, I watched that, and again, being inspired about what God was doing there and how God defeated a giant that day. You see, the truth be known to this story, David didn't defeat a giant, God defeated a giant. God defeated a giant in the land of Israel, and today in your life, I want to give you some great news. I want to encourage you today that God will defeat your giant. He will defeat your giant. He'll do away with that thing that is stripping you of all your joy, that giant that is uncovering all of your weaknesses. God will completely destroy him from off the face of the earth. What a great time that is, and knowing that. But I want you to look first in this story. I want you to look at the valley. I want you to look at the valley. There in verse, let me find where it was. I got my, and listen guys, it's going to be a mess today because I've got 100 places in here that I'm going to be. So just do the best you can. If you don't keep up, I ain't going to be mad at you. But listen, I want you to see the valley in verse 19. And Saul and all they, the men of Israel, were in the valley of Elah and fighting with the Philistines. And I began thinking that surely there must be something to this valley. So I began looking up the name of this. And does anybody know what this valley was? This valley was a valley of great oak trees. And if you study it all the way back into the root word of this, I can't pronounce it in Hebrew and Greek, but I'm just going to tell you this. It means strength. It means strength. So here they was. All of Israel was camped out in the valley, which meant strength. Now, this don't seem very like it makes sense to me and you that here they are in the valley of strength and they're in the weakest part of their life. Here they are in the valley of strength, and they can't even come out against a great giant. And I began thinking about this all week, and I thought about my own life. My problem is, so many times, I go about the giant in my own strength. I try my own strength to come about the giant, and it's not in my strength I can do anything. It's only in the strength of God. Now, I want to show you something. I don't think I even had the guys do this. But if you turn back to the first part of chapter 17, The first verse in chapter 17, I want you to see this. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shanah, I can't say that word, belonging to Judah, and pitched between Chalkah and Azra in Ephraim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. Now look at verse number 3. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. There was a valley between them. So I want you to think about it like this. Here's God's people on this side. Here's the Philistines and a great giant on this side. And right in the middle of that thing is a valley. And guess what the name of that valley is? It's a valley of strength. It's a valley of strength. And listen, if you're going to defeat that giant, you've got to go through that valley of strength. Oh, what a great encouragement it should be to knowing that the valley we come to before we face our giant is a valley of strength. I believe it's a blessing. I believe it's also a curse because we all have things we think we're strong in. How many of y'all have ever said, that thing will not trip me up? How many of you ever said, that thing will not get me down? Those same things that trip that preacher up, it won't get me. Or that just trip that deacon up, it won't get me. But my friend, I want to tell you something. In that valley of strength, you can be defeated if you do not rely on God. You can be defeated. The valley of that thing meant strength. Great oak trees. And oak trees stood for a sign of stability. They stood for a sign of strength. When you saw an oak tree in that day, you automatically thought strength. But I want you to look at more in that valley. Not only was it a valley of strength, but I want you to look at the crowd that was assembled in that valley. Now, the Bible says that they was all there. In that valley, in verse 19, says that all of them was in the valley of Elah. All of them, it says Saul. It says that David's brothers was there. And it says all the armies of Israel was in that valley. My friend, I want to tell you something this morning. We get caught up thinking we're the only one in the valley. How many of y'all have ever had a pity party and you say that I'm the only one here? Oh me, nobody cares about me. I'm here. I'm just going, nobody cares if I die. Nobody cares if I live. I'm just here in this valley and nobody gives a hoot about me. And all this, hey, we all get into the valley. But I want you to understand this morning, you're not alone. Everybody was in this valley. The whole crowd was there. And they was all there. And to bless God, they was all scared to death. Not only was there a crowd in the valley, I want you to look at the cowards that was in the valley. Hey, there was cowards there. There was great men fighting. And here was a whole army. And the last thing you expect to find in an army is cowards. But church, I want you to understand something. As I search out my own life, I find out something, that I too am a coward. I'm a coward, you know why? Because I'm chased out of God's will by giants in my life. I'm chased out of where God wants me to be on the mountaintop by giants that run me there every single day. And if you're honest too, you are chased out by this giant and you're scared to death to overcome him and you will not step out. I've told you 1,000 times, they say the number one fear of all people is speaking in public. And I believe today that there's probably hundreds or maybe even thousands of preachers who never preached a single message that God had called them to preach. But because of giant of being scared of public speaking, there are cowards in the valley of strength. I believe today there's people who's supposed to talk classes that never did it because they was cowards in the valley of strength. I believe there's people that's called to do many great things for God that never moved because it was cowards in the strength. You say, hey, that ain't fun. You call me a coward. It's not fun either. I had to deal with that, my friend. But I want you to see that there was cowards in this place. Verse 10 and 11 of this same chapter, verse 17. Listen to what it says. It says, and the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like a bunch of cowards this morning. They was all dismayed. They was greatly afraid of this big old giant. Now you got to think about this thing. It's easy to stand here today and all these years away from this thing and say what a coward they must have been. But I want you to be honest with yourself. As you stand and you look toward that giant, whatever giant is yours, it scares you to death, don't it? It scares you to death. You're afraid to go out against this thing because it's going to uncover you. It's going to show the world who you are. It's going to reveal your weaknesses. You see, when they looked at that giant, they didn't see just an ordinary person. They saw a great big giant. And my friend, if you study about Israel very often, you'll find out that Israel had a problem with giants. Israel had a problem with giants. You remember the story of where they sent out the spies? And what did they do? 10 of them come back and said, we can't go over there. Let me tell you about it. There's some great things over there. There's grapes big enough you have to tote them on staves, but there are giants over there. All there was 10 of them that said that. Only 2 came back and said, hey, it's a great land. God's give it to us. Let's go get it. They didn't see a giant. They didn't worry about a giant. These was men who was called to be God's men, and they went out, but listen, they wasn't allowed to go because all the crowd said, you can't fight them. You can't win. There's no way we can overtake that land. There's giants. So my friend, Israel has always had a problem with giants. Now remember what Israel is. God's people. God's people has always had a problem with giants. You're God's people. And my friend, you have a problem with giants. Not only was there cowards in the valley, but also there was conversation in the valley. Let me let you in on this conversation they had. Stephanie's laughing because there was a funny thing in that situation about in that meeting the other night about conversation. I won't go there because I'll mess it up. But listen at the conversation in the valley. Verses 27 through 37. Listen at the conversation. Y'all gonna have to keep up in your Bible because I left them guys out today. It says, and the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killed him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and his anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why did you even come down here? And with whom has thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, the notice of thine heart, for thou art come down and might see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? The minute David decided to step out, a conversation began to take place. Now, y'all may be a little more sane than I am. You probably are, or you probably wouldn't be here this morning. I'm about as crazy as it gets, but how many of y'all ever have conversation with yourself? Go ahead, raise your hand. It's okay. They say when you got a problem, when you start answering. We all have conversations with ourselves in the valley. How many of y'all have ever been sitting there knowing that God has called you to do something, and you say, what are you doing down here? Why in the world are you even preaching? Why in the world are you ever doing this? I conversate with myself every Monday. I've told you this. I quit almost every Monday. I give up almost every Monday. By Tuesday, I start getting better. But listen, we all have conversations with ourselves. But listen what David's brother said. He said, what are you doing down here, David? And by the way, why did you leave that little few sheep? You should be back there sitting after those 2 sheep you gave you. And boy, I thought about this and began to think, how many times has old devil told me, why are you pastoring such a church? Why are you pastoring that you don't have but a few people? You must not be anything. If you just got a few, you must not be anything. Honey, I tell you something, that the people that God's given us are his people, and I'd rather have them than all the devils. Listen. Conversation in the valley. His brother told him he shouldn't be doing it. His brother said, don't go there. Don't even go up and fight it. David said, what's wrong with you? There's a great cause here. And he turned from him toward another and spake the same thing. David went from man to man saying, is there not a cause in Israel? Is there not a cause to fight a giant? Is there not a cause to go against him? And all of them just looked at one another like David was stupid. So he went on. He kept talking and having conversation. He turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. The people answered him again after the former manner. What are you doing down here, David? Go back to your few sheep. I heard your brother tell you that. Go on back now. You're just a little boy. You don't amount to anything. You're small. You're a little small fella. By the way, I love David. I've told you this before, and I tell you again. The reason I love David so much is his heart has a man after God's own heart, but he was small and good looking. That sound familiar? Derek, you jump on here with me. He was small, but the Bible says he was ruddy or good looking. So he said, what are you doing out here, pretty boy? How do you think you're going to go out against a giant? You're here, this little teenage boy. Bible scholar said he was probably from age 14 on up. I don't know how old he was. But one thing about it, God had him at that place at that time. And the conversation was that they could not win. It said that everybody had the same thing to tell him. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. So the men began talking and having conversation in the valley and said, hey, at least we've got a little one that's not afraid to fight. I tell you what, let's go tell Saul about this one we found. So they go and tell Saul. So Saul said, we've got one here by the name of David. He's a little bitty fella, but he's willing to fight. And listen what happened. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he's been a man of war from his youth." And David said to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose again, when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." You see, the conversation that was in the valley was all against David. But my friend, it did not dishearten him. It did not tell him to give up. Although all the conversation is against us today, we cannot give up because there is a great cause to fight our giant. That conversation that goes on in your heart and goes on in your head, do not listen to it. We talked about it in our Sunday school class. Our emotions and our feelings will lie to you. The Bible tells us that even our hearts are wicked and we cannot trust our own hearts. I've heard people say, "Well, I've done it because I felt like it." My friend, if you do that, I can promise you one thing, and that's failure. You cannot go on your feelings. How many of you got up in the morning and felt like a loser? I have. How many of you got up in the morning and felt defeated? I have. How many of you got up in the morning and was mad at everybody in the whole world? I have. You cannot go on feelings. You cannot. So there was a conversation in this valley. Let me let you see the villain. Look at the villain that was in this valley also. 17, back to the first part of it. I tell you, it's like a cat flipping pages. Chapter 17, verses 4 through 7. Listen about the villain. "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat of mail was 5,000 shekels of brass." Whew. "And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried to the armies of Israel and said unto them, 'Why you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine? And you servants to Saul, choose you a man for you and let him come down to me.'" Look at this villain. Number one, the size of it. Y'all know I'm a small guy, so I love this story. 9 feet tall and some inches. Big giant fella. 9 feet tall. Makes me think of Mark McCaplin. I wish he was here. 9 feet tall. Listen what this was. Just huge. Look at the shield of the villain. He seemed to be covered from head to toe with armor. There was no way to penetrate his enemy. I done some figuring yesterday with a conversion chart I found online. And listen, just his shield weighed 125 pounds. 125 pounds. All that coat of mail on him weighed over 100 and something pounds. He had one that went before him that was blocking for him. Hey, he had a spear that the size of the end of that thing was 2.5 inches round. Those of y'all that ever been around much plumbing or stuff, you know a 2.5 inch pipe's pretty good size. The size of just a handle of his spear was 2.5 inches round. That was the size of a weaver's beam. And just the head of that spear, it was amazing how heavy it was. I put a little note here. Sometimes when I'm by myself, I try to make myself laugh. It said 125 pounds of iron for a shield. I put in my notes, "That's Derek." He had Derek on him. He had a man the size of Derek toting him. This man was huge. This man was something to see. I began thinking about the giant that's in my life, the thing I fight against. And I believe the Bible teaches, and I believe it taught us about Paul, was we all have something that trips us up. We all have a giant that defeats us. We all have a giant that keeps us down, that scared us to death, that we just cannot defeat. And man, this thing is huge. It's bigger than you can understand because he's my giant. You don't know what he is, but he's huge. And you have a giant that I can't understand. And to you, this giant is huge. Now listen, I've never saw a man 9 feet tall. But to me, I was joking, but Mark McCaplin is close as I know to a giant. He's however tall, he's big. And I stand beside him yesterday in Jack's and I talk to Mark like this. So does almost everybody else. But this giant. But listen, it's comical this morning, but think about in a spiritual matter about the giant you face and how big he is. and how mean he looks like he is, and does he not come out at least once a day? He comes out at least once a day and tries to trip you up and scare you to death and run you off, and this rascal is just huge, and he's not anything but simply a villain. Now, you've got to think about, has this big, tall, mean giant come out, and spiritually speaking, this man's name was Exile. This man's name was Uncover. This man's name was Strip Away. This man's name is everything it takes to do away what God has placed in your life. That's what this man means. He was there to strip away the courage that God's gave you. He was there to strip away the faith that God's gave you. He was there to strip away all the goodness that God has gave you. This is what this giant in your life is about. And listen, is there not a cause today to defeat him? Is there not a cause in 2019 for every one of us to defeat a giant in our life? Is there not a cause? The villain. I want to show you the victory. There's also a victory that was in this valley. 34 through 51. Chapter 17 still. We ain't moved. Chapter 17, verse 34 through 51. Let me read to you the start. The start of the victory. It says, "And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, took a lamb out of the flock." You see, the start of any victory is a willingness through faith, a willingness to fight. Me and Stephanie, one of the greatest fusses besides the Rook game we've ever got in is over volleyball. Because listen, I'm not a great athlete by no means. I'm 6 feet tall. But listen, I'm not anywhere close to some of these athletes around. Nowhere close. Probably everybody in this building could probably beat me in almost any sport. But one thing I cannot stand is somebody not to try. You may not be the best. We coach Little League softball, and you'd have some girls who God-given ability to hit the ball. Some have God-given ability to throw the ball, and some this. But we had a little bitty girl on our team. And listen, I don't know her situation, but she was smaller than all the other kids. She couldn't run fast. Her name was Ava, and Ava wouldn't mind me telling you about her. But listen, Ava had something that all the other kids was missing. Ava couldn't run very fast. Ava couldn't hit the ball very hard. But Ava would try with all her heart. She had a willingness. And you know what Ava was? She was the best kid on the whole team to coach because she would do her best. You couldn't count on her to hit it out of the infield. You couldn't count on her to steal bases. But what you could on count is every time Ava got up, she was going to do her best. She had a willingness to try. And listen, my friend, what I cannot stand is a willingness not to do anything. I love somebody to be able to fight and to be able to try. Hey, you're never going to conquer a giant if you don't step out. And I believe with all my heart, any of those other Israelites that was there in that valley could have conquered that giant if they had had a willingness by faith to step out. You're going to see in a minute, there wasn't nothing special about David. Every one of them could have been what David was. But David had a willingness to fight. That was the start of the victory. I want you to see a confidence through faith also. Listen, what confidence he had. Where did he gain this confidence? He told Saul, he said, "Saul, yes, I'm just a young man. Yes, I'm just a shepherd. But listen, I remember a time when a bear come against me and I got him by his beard and I killed him. And I done same to a lion." You know where his faith come from? Boy, let's make you want to shout today. His faith come from past experiences. And today, every single person in this building has slew a giant at some point. You've overcome something that God's put in your path. So our faith and the start of victory comes through a confidence we have in something we have already overcome. And we are able to overcome this thing through the same faith that we did the last time. You see, when the bear came out, David thought, "God help me." And he grabbed him. When the lion came out, David thought, "God help me." And do it. He knew that it was only through the strength of God that David could do this thing. It was a faith strengthened through trials. Through trials. How many of y'all have ever been in the middle of a trial and said, "Oh me, why in the world must I go through this?" There's some of y'all in here that's lost family members closer than I have. I've never lost a mother and a daddy, a brother and sister. And bless God, I hope I never lose a child. Some of y'all have. But you know what it's gained? It's gained strength. I can talk to y'all, and there's a strength there that I can tell. Some of y'all have been through great valleys on other parts of life, and you know what it's gained? It's gained strength. It's gained faith in God. It's gained strength. We always are strengthened through our trials. God tells us that they're not there for some reason. They're there to bring forth gold, is what it says. It says, don't consider this fiery trial you to go through as some strange thing happening to you, because when you go through the fire, guess what happens to gold? It's purified. You know that gold has to be heated to 1600 degrees to get pure? And the dross begins coming out of it. That's what trials are for. Trials purify us. They get us ready for the giant, big giant that's ahead. The big giant's ahead. So verses 34 through 36. Strengthened through the trials of the lion and the bear. Oh, but listen. I want you to see something else. In that strengthened through the trials, he learned some things. I call it the stones of victory. The stones of victory. Listen to 38 and 40. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed not to go, or he decided not to do it with that armor on, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. Or David took them off. Now I want you to see the story of this. Put yourself in this position. Here David is about to go fight the largest enemy he had ever fought in his whole life. And Saul begins looking at it worldly and says, David, you cannot win with that little crazy bag you got tied to your wrapped around you and that sling you've got. You cannot defeat a giant with that. You must go with what the world says you need. And church, I want to tell you, have we not tried enough of the world's doings? Have we not tried it? Boy, we try everything, don't we? We try what it thinks it takes to get them in. A matter of fact, the church ain't become much different looking than the world. We've tried all of that, and we thought we must look like them to get them here. We must do this to get them here. My friend, why don't we try doing what God has given us, and it's this word right here. Here is your stones of victory. You want to win the loss for Christ? Here it is. You want to overcome your giants, my friend? Here it is. You want to do what? This is the five stones that God has given. Anybody know what the word, the letter five, number five stands for in the Bible? Grace. Grace. David has some stones of victory. I put down here, use what God has given you. God provided those stones. This sword and all this coat of mail. David had never worn it before in his life. Churches today are trying things a church has never tried in her whole life. In the whole age of the church, we're doing things that the early church would roll over in their grave if they was there. They would say, oh me, why are you doing this? You've got the word of God. They'd say, oh me, why are you trying this? You've got five stones in your bag that's way stronger than this stuff. There's no sense in trying all these things. And listen, y'all know I'm not one of these that's against every new thing comes along. I'm not, but what I am against is getting away from the Word of God. I'm against getting away from the things of God. My friend, if it's good enough for David, it's good enough for me. If it's good enough for that early church, it's good enough for us. If it's good enough for our grandpa, it's still good enough for us. The Word of God will always work. Do not stray from it. Do not try to put anything on it that don't belong there. You go with what God's given you and you will be victorious. David says, I can't go with them. I hadn't proved them. That'll be every Christian's plea today. When the world tries to get you to try things that you know is not right, you'll say, I can't go with that. I've never tried it before and I'm not going to try it. I know what's worked for me. Let me ask you this. How many of y'all have ever overcome a trial in your life? I want you to raise your hand. How many people has ever overcome a trial in your life? Everybody has. You wouldn't be here. What helped you overcome it? Was it some new something the internet's come out with? Was it some new way they say to do things today? Was it some new thing that they say you got to do? And by the way, these things that post on, boy, I get so sick of seeing these. And listen, y'all may post them. If you do, I still love you. But these things that said that if you don't post in 30 minutes, or if you will post in 30 minutes, God will give you a bunch of money. Or if you'll pray, if you'll do this right now, then God's going to do this. My friend, that has nothing to do with the Word of God. That is as bad as a horoscope is. It's as bad as anything else. God has promised me faithful in this Word's what I need. I don't need any Facebook. Stick with what has worked. What's God given you? Use what's proven. Hebrews chapter 4. If I ain't completely left y'all behind. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. For the Word of God is quick. and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. My friend, I don't know of anything else that works better than the Word of God. I don't know of anything else to conquer a giant than the Word of God. Any giant you come upon, I promise you, you can conquer it through the Word of God. This thing is yours. It's provided for you. We live in a country where they're readily available. We have one on every pew. We have one in our house. We got one in our car. We got one on our phone. We've got the Word of God continuously with us in our country. What a blessed people we must be. At my disposal, I can get my cell phone. I can click that little sword thing. Mine's the size, shaped like a sword, the app is. I can click that, and within 2 seconds, I've got the complete Word of God at my hands. What a blessed generation. It says it's quick. It means it's alive. It's powerful and sharper than any sword the world has. It'll cut going in. It'll cut coming out. That's why people today don't like it. They don't like it. Verses 49 through 51 is a story of victory. Let me read it, and I'm going to close. 49 through 51, it says, "And David put his hand in his bag, took out thence a stone and slung it, smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk in his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth." You realize that David had the first GPS system? God positioned that thing. That was a God positioning system. God knew where that stone needed to go, and I believe with all my heart that God guided that smooth stone. It says, "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David." Slew him without ever touching a sword. But listen what he did. "Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." They ran. Victory begins with slaying one giant. You slay a giant in your life, the rest of them armies of Satan's will flee. They will run. They will get out of town because they know who they're dealing with. They know who they're dealing with. They know they're not dealing with anybody in their own strength. They're dealing with a person who relies on the strength of God. Why, in closing right now, why is a battle important? Why is this battle so important? This thing is answered with one verse. Verse number 46, listen at this. "This day will the Lord deliver unto thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and will give the carcasses of the host of Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and unto the wild beasts of the earth," here it comes, "that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Why is your battle important? To show all the earth. No, I know it's not important. It's not. I'm probably not going to reach all the earth. I'm not. But guess what? As they see me conquer a giant, they'll say, "Surely that must have been of God." Because think just a minute. Here stood a little boy, teenage boy, nothing but a bag around his head, around his shoulders, with 5 stones put in it and a sling in his hand. And out yonder on the other mountaintop stood a giant, 9 feet tall. With a spear the size of a weaver's beam, 125-pound coat of mail, and shields and all this stuff. And he stood there, and it looked like there was absolutely no way that David could win this battle. But David understood something. There was a God in Israel. And at the end of that day, the Philistines and all of Israel even was going to understand it wasn't David who conquered a giant. It was the God of Israel. In your own power, you are weak. In your own strength, you can do nothing. Your own strength, you're as weak as water. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. But when you're in the power of God, anything is possible. Your giants can be defeated. Your giants can be defeated. I want you to understand today, there is a cause. There is a cause in Heflin, Alabama. There is a cause in Alabama. There is a cause in the United States. There is a cause in the whole world. And this cause is a lost and a dying, unconcerned world that needs to see some of God's people defeat some battles. I'll never forget one time we was in Alaska. We was walking through the streets and we had got off the ship. And then y'all ever been on a cruise? You got a ship card. keep it in your pocket, and I hate toting stuff around with me, but had my ship card and my license in my pocket because I didn't want to be off the boat where I couldn't get on. I'm walking down through there, and this fella comes up and taps me on the shoulder. He said, "Hey, is this you?" He had my driver's license. First time I'd ever encountered a real pickpocket. I didn't have any money, so that's why he decided to give my license back. He got my license out of my pocket without me ever knowing it had to, because I just walked right off the ship. He was a fisherman, had on fisherman waders. He began trying to witness to us, and the time he was witnessing, I bet he said 10 cuss words. I'm not talking about, like my granny used to say, slang words. I'm talking about ugly words that you don't say anywhere. And my wife is way more bold than I am. He keeps trying to witness to us, and she says, whoa, wait a minute. We're Christians, but who do you think you're going to win talking like that? And boy, he turned tail and run. And listen, I told you that little story to tell you this. The world needs to see that you're different. Something was different about David. David was something different. He was a man willing to fight. He was a man empowered to fight. He was a man after God's own heart. But David was no different than me and you can be today. We got that same God that's waiting for me to rely on him. He's waiting to fight your battle. He's waiting to position your stone. And you can be victorious. You can leave here today victorious over whatever enemy has got you running. Whatever enemy has you in a valley, you can defeat him today. By the word of God, by the power of God, by the strength of God. As everyone would, please stand. Now I'm going to ask you a very, very personal question today. Have you got a giant? Have you got a giant that comes out every morning and rears his ugly head and says, "You are nothing. You are absolutely nothing today. You're not going to be victorious today. You're not going to do anything today. You are defeated. No use even try because I'm way bigger than you." How many has a giant? If you would be honest with me, every one of us would raise our hand. I don't want you to do that right now. But if you would raise your hand. We all have giants. I have a giant. You have a giant. Do you desire to see him defeated? I know of nothing worse than being, this is one reason that it's hard for me, and I never want to be a head coach of even a little league football team or a little league baseball team, because I've got to admit something to you. I absolutely hate losing. I'm a sore loser. I get mad. We play a game at home. If I lose, I'm ready to quit. I don't like losing. Chances are you don't like losing. Why is it that we allow this giant to whip us every day? Every day we get up, we are whipped before we even put our feet on the floor. Most of us won't even fight. Most of us don't even have a willingness to fight. But then there are some of us in this room. Maybe you're a battler. Maybe you like to fight. Maybe you say, "Hey, I get up every morning, put my feet on the floor and say, 'Come on, I got something for you, giant.'" That's how we should be. We should be willing to fight. We should not be afraid. We should not be a coward. For we got one on our side. Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? You can be victorious. As Pat plays today, maybe you have something that's just got you so down that you can't even see the way up. Maybe there's something that's got you so defeated, you don't understand how victory could ever come to a person like you. Maybe you've been in this valley. I've never really studied how long Israel was there running from this old giant. Didn't think about looking at that, but it was probably a while. And all the time they was there, they was in the valley of strength, fighting the strongest battle they had ever fought. Every time they looked around, there was a big giant oak tree that reminded them of God's strength. A big giant oak tree reminded them of God's stability. And here they was, scared for their life. Church, it's not God's will that we run like a bunch of cowards. God's will is we fight the enemies that face us. Will you fight them today? A good place to start is right here. You don't have to come here. I'd love for you to. You don't have to. You can begin fighting them at home. But I can promise you something. If you're going to be victorious, you must talk with the one who's over the battle. You must talk to the Lord. You must pray. You must get in your word, or you cannot defeat him. In your own power, you're weak. But in him, you don't even believe what kind of strength you have. She plays, we're going to open the doors of the church, accept members any way the gospel authorizes. God lets you know this is a place to work out of. We'll accept members any way the gospel tells us we can. I want you to leave here today saying, I can defeat giants. I can slay giants. Do you realize, and I didn't read that verse to you, I meant to, but it said that when David began running down the hill to face Goliath, it says he put his hand in his bag, not in Saul's bag. He put his hand in his bag. David used to defeat the giant what God had given him. God has given you something to defeat the giant with if you'll use it.